Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Should we go out to eat? I'm thinking about hair extensions. Ooh, that makes no sense. Stop playing with me. All right, here we go.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
All right, that's enough.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. You doing okay? I'm concerned about you. I don't care any more about you than you do about me. Let's get that straight to begin with. That's not the kind of thing we're doing here. It's not a dating site, okay? You just be quiet and I'll talk for a little while, and that's how this works. I've been told that I'm available on all devices. I don't know what that means, actually. Can you hear me through a pacemaker? Actually, maybe you can. I can be downloaded. Isn't that weird? I never thought in my whole life I'd say that to myself. Hey, Ron, you can be downloaded. What does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds wrong, doesn't it? Ron, you don't look happy today. Yeah, yesterday I was downloaded. Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Downloaded. That sounds bad. Yesterday I was uploaded. Oh, good. That sounds really up and wonderful. You have an uploaded day. That's wonderful. Yeah, because yesterday was downloaded. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I found yesterday that my show was downloaded by somebody. Oh, those bastards! All right, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Welcome to the show. Everything that I say is honest and true, except for those statements which I have embellished or made up. Other than that, this is all big stuff. Welcome. I do this every single weekday. For those of you that may not be familiar and are hearing this program for the first time, where the hell you been? Come on, man. I've been doing this like for decades, and you just now find out about me? I'm insulted. So you can make it up to me by binge listening to nearly 2,000 episodes. I know you've got the time. I'm familiar with your life. You've got nothing else to do. I know that. I can see you. I went to your Facebook page and I know all about you. I know how many times you brush your teeth every day, who your relatives are, when you were born, where you work, where you keep the key outside of the house when you get locked out. I know everything. I know what happened in that hotel room and in 1992. Yeah, I know. It's on your Facebook page. I'm aware of it. I'm aware of you being arrested for petty larceny. You took someone's petty. I'm aware of you, so don't. And yeah, and you're not as pretty as you think you are. So stop with those profile pictures. You know how I know somebody is smart on Facebook? They don't have their picture up for a profile picture. I know that. They have that stupid little silhouette thing where you don't know who it is because no one put a profile picture on their Facebook page yet. Those are smart people. They did. It's not because they didn't put one up yet. They don't want to. If you put up a picture of your actual self, you're asking for it. Then you're using Facebook for all the wrong stuff. Actually, using it at all is for all the wrong stuff. Some people on Facebook, they put up a picture of a dog. And I'm saying, okay, that works too, because that's not you, I assume. So, okay, At least you're trying to hide something. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about Facebook. I was not employed by the Facebook Company of America to talk about Facebook. I truly predict that within about, 500 years, Facebook will be obsolete. That's my prediction. I found it in a fortune cookie. Fortune cookies, man. Aren't they extreme? We are a bunch of morons. We are society of a bunch of morons. And I don't mean to put you down, but you're part of this. I'm not. I don't do this. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, actually, you go to a Chinese restaurant with somebody else. It's not you. It's always somebody else, right? And you've had your little Chinese meal, which is very tasty, by the way, very tasty, especially the American version of Chinese food. So you're in the restaurant, and what do they always give you when they bring the bill, when they bring the check? The invoice, I call it. The invoice. The digestion invoice. They give you a couple of fortune cookies. And you always feel like, when you're at a Chinese restaurant, oh, I'm getting something at the end of the meal for free. So, wow, this is a special day. So they have these fortune cookies. You open up the fortune cookie, and inside it has a fortune. And just about everybody reads the fortune in the fortune cookie. I do not. Because I will not participate in such a foolish display of idle optimism. I will not do it. And when the person sitting with me at the dinner table, at the Chinese restaurant table, says, Ron, aren't you going to read your fortune? I respond by saying, no, I'm not. I'm not giving in to that cult following. So the other person cracks open the cookie, pulls out the little strip of paper. By the way, how sanitary is it to shove a dirty piece of paper into something that has been baked? I don't know. I don't know. The person who handled that piece of paper could have had some type of disease or something. I don't know that. Shoving a piece of paper in a baked good? Seriously? What if you were in a restaurant and you ordered lasagna? And you take your fork and you cut into the lasagna and you put it up to your mouth, and there's a piece of paper in your mouth that has stuff written on it. What would you do? I would call the server over and say, excuse me, someone put a piece of paper in my lasagna. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We'll comp the meal. That's what I should do in a Chinese restaurant. Call over the Chinese server. I say, excuse me, I bit into this baked good here, this cookie, and inside there's a piece of paper with someone wrote on it or something. I want my meal comped. Well, that's not going to happen, but why shouldn't it? I don't know where that thing came from. I mean, anyway, so the person at the table with me opens up the fortune cookie, and they read the fortune. You will come into a great amount of money tomorrow. And their face lights up like, oh my God, this is wonderful. Excuse me, what's wonderful, that you found a piece of paper in your cookie? No, I'm going to come into a large amount of money tomorrow. You're an asshole. Are you serious? You believe this stuff? Yes, I do. It's an ancient Chinese tradition. No, it's not. No, it's made up in a factory. What are you talking about? It's called paper shoving into cookies. What? It's not a harbinger of death. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? You open up the fortune cookie and you read it, and it says you're going to die tomorrow. This isn't good. For the rest of the day, I'm guaranteeing you're checking out your last will and testament, making sure all your house is in order, because the fortune cookie said this could happen. It could happen anyway. I'm not into the fortune cookie thing. I feel like an idiot if I get into it, you know. And you say, Ron, you know, lighten up. It's just a fun little thing. Yeah, it's not. Believe me, it sticks with you. That fortune sticks with you. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. You know it does to you. I'm not reading that crap. I'm not eating that cookie. Yuck. I forgot why I'm here, to be honest with you today. How the hell did I get into fortune cookies? This is what happens. This is exactly what happens. I start with something, I'm going to go somewhere, and I end up like in another country. What happened? I wanted to talk about the state of Virginia. And I'm not talking about this woman who lives down the street. I'm talking about Virginia in the United States, that entire state. Since January, there's been a new governor of Virginia. He's a Democrat, just happens to be a Democrat. His name is Ralph Northam. And Ralph is the governor of Virginia. It comes out a couple of months later. We're only a couple of months. We're about a year into his reign as Virginia governor. It comes out that when he went to doctor college, they came out with a yearbook back then. And in the yearbook is a picture of him on a page. It's his page. His name is at the top of the page. There's nothing else on the page. It's a picture of him. And there's also a picture of a kid in blackface, standing next to somebody dressed up in a Ku Klux Klan hood and robe. One might find this to be incredibly offensive. I think we all would. So this gets discovered. And this was decades and decades ago. This is when Northam was just a college kid, obviously making a very bad decision to wear that stuff if that's the case. So he makes so he's found out, and he makes a comment, and he says, "That yearbook page, I didn't know what I was doing. I was a young kid, and that's all." Then there's backlash about it, like, oh, he's admitting that he was a horrible kid that didn't know how to make proper decisions like that. And he was voted into the Virginia governorship by black people and minorities and majorities and people that thought he was sensitive to the plight of various social issues. So the next day, the governor makes another statement, and he says that picture, I wasn't in it. You weren't in it. Yesterday you said that you were. Yeah, but now I'm not. What? This governor of Virginia is up that creek without a paddle. We've all seen, and if you don't know about this, then you got to follow the news more, because it's not my job to tell you what the news is. I'm not a news program. I'm just commenting on the news. You've seen the yearbook page. If not, Google it, and you'll see the yearbook page. It's his page, and it's quite obvious what's going on there. And we're talking about the 80s. This was not a time where we didn't know what was going on. We were socially in the right place there. We knew that was really, really wrong and disrespectful. We knew that really, really well, even in Virginia. So anyway, so look at this page. And my question is not like how stupid and dumb was Governor Northam when he was a college kid. That wasn't my question. My question was, this freaking doctor school, this doctor college, how did they publish something like that? How did a yearbook ever get published with a page in it showing a guy wearing a hood and a Ku Klux Klan uniform and then a white guy in blackface standing next to him? How insensitive is this yearbook company? I mean, I'm chastising the Virginia governor for doing this when he was a college kid. Yeah, and I know you make stupid decisions when you're a college kid, but it also has something to do with your personality. Even when you're young, I'm sorry. Even if you're young and stupid, I don't think young and stupid is an excuse for doing something like that. Nor is it an excuse to rob a bank or or go into a convenience store or bully a kid to the point that the kid is breaking down crying. I consider that to be a personality build that never leaves you. People don't do things like that when they're a child and then they totally change. No, it's embedded in their personality. Don't tell me otherwise. And that's the way I roll, baby. So don't tell me, like, oh, I was a child, I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah, it's baked in you, babe. It's baked in you. I mean, you may have matured and grown up, but at the same time, you if you didn't have any morals in your little body when you were in college, then you're spent, man. You're just spent. Don't go into politics and don't become governor, my God. Don't go into public life like that. My problem is the college yearbook publisher. Whoever that was should be chastised. How could you publish something like that? Mistake or no mistake, and it wasn't a mistake. How can you publish something? That's the real question. You know, we get upset at things, but we get upset at the wrong thing. For example, this president guy, Donald, is it Trump, is it? Is it? I'm not familiar. I mean, I'm mad at him. I'm not mad at him because of his political views. His political views are his political views. I get that. I don't agree with them, but I get it. You have a right to have them and a right to lead the country with them. It's not that I object to, Don. It's the fact that you're an asshole. That's all. You're mindless. You're stupid. You can't read. You can't write. You can't listen to anybody. You can't reason. You know, you can't negotiate. You can't compromise. You got no art of the deal going. You're a bully. You're an idiot. You call people degrading names to ruin their reputation if they cross you. You have every single moral, dissident, horrible bone in your body. You're immoral. You have no feelings for other people. You don't represent everybody in this country. You're out for yourself, not for them. You're a despicable human being. And it has nothing to do with your political views. And your whole life has been like that. And we've read your biographies in many different books. We had one of them on here last week, the author of a book like that. We see your childhood. You suck. You suck. You suck. And you know nothing better than to suck. You lead everybody by your gut without asking questions, background information, reading about something, asking experts who have been there for their entire lives. You don't care about them. You have claimed in front of everybody that you are the smartest person in the world. Nobody's smarter than you. You're the smartest president there has ever been. That is delusion. Again, whether you believe in his views or not, that is a fucked up person. So, I'm just saying. But do I blame him for what's going on? No. I blame the people that voted for him. Now, how much do I blame them? Not a lot. Not a lot, because your alternative, if you were to vote at all, was Hillary Clinton. And because of the way that unfolded, which had a lot to do with Donald's underground in trying to defeat her by orchestrating the release of materials that would defeat her, she did those things. She had the stupid email thing going on that should have disqualified her because she wasn't viable to be president at that point. The trust thing was gone. So I get it. So you vote for Don. I kind of almost get that too. Although at the time, I certainly did not. All right, let's say that happened in 2016. If you still support him, policy-wise or not, if you support a moron, a despicable human being, an immoral asshole, then it's on you now. So who's to blame? It's that portion of people in this country that still stand behind a man that is quite obviously not fit. That's on you. That's your fault. Is it Donald's fault? No, Donald is who he is. He's a con artist. He's been like that all his life. He ran companies into the ground, borrowed money. We'll find out soon that he laundered money. Okay, that's Donald. But you can't stand behind him now after all that's been done. He has ruined your Republican Party. He's ruined it. And it's going to take decades for you to get that back. He has made fools of every Republican sitting in Congress. Every one of them. Standing in a cult where the leader is a butthead. You're better than that. If I were you, I'd kick Trump out of, I'd boot him out of there, pick another Republican to run against Trump, then you'd be at the top of the world. You would show that your party has morals, has standards, and finally got sick of having the party swept from under its own feet. And you would survive and thrive. It's kind of simple, really. Do Republicans really believe in the largest deficit in this country, the largest budget deficit ever created? Is that what Republicans believe in, or are they fiscal conservatives? Apparently not anymore. Do they believe in human beings and in equality and ending racial discrimination? What happened to you then? Why are you defending a guy that doesn't really want to talk about it? Why are you defending a guy who has gone bankrupt so many times with his companies and doesn't pay his employees, has scammed people going to Trump University, finds that Russia is far more believable than any of our intelligence agencies or any of our judicial system policies, that he wants to be like a dictator? He loves Putin. He loves China. He loves North Korea. It's the Western countries in Europe and Canada and Mexico that he hates. What the hell's going on, man? What happened to your party? Democrats bring in tons of women of all backgrounds, smart women. More than half the country is women here. Republicans, still old white guys. What happened to you guys, Republican? I better be careful. Better be careful. Anyway, what can I tell you? Whatever, 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 whatever.
As a special surprise, thank you. Everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning.
Hello.
Dr. Kubley and Dr. Cardin are with us, and they have a long list of titles and involvements, which we really don't have time to get into, but we are talking about Veterans Affairs and how this relates to some vision loss, some low vision, because this is Low Vision Awareness Month. It's always a month for something. This month it's for that. And is there a higher incidence of veterans with low vision concerns?
There actually is. Most people talk about veterans who suffered injury to their vision or vision system from combat. But actually, other disorders of the visual system are more prevalent also in veterans, including macular degeneration, diabetes affecting vision, glaucoma, and cataracts. So although they share some of the same problems that non-veterans have, do suffer in a greater incidence some of these
really?
Problems.
Okay. I mean,
traumatic brain injury is one that I think a lot of people come to mind because of injury suffered during combat.
So brain injury can actually promote vision loss as well.
That's right. About 60% of the brain is devoted to visual function in different ways.
Oh.
So even if the traumatic brain injury doesn't affect the eyeball itself, it can affect the wiring that goes through the brain pathways.
Okay, that makes sense, because I was wondering, because, I mean, people who aren't in combat or aren't with the military, they're sitting at the computer screens all day and playing video games, so I figured their eyes would go a lot faster than somebody who's active. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying there. What is the difference between a vision loss and actual vision problems? In other words, vision loss happens through age anyway, doesn't it?
Well, there's certain things that happen with age to everybody, but vision loss in terms of really affecting your everyday abilities isn't just due to age. Usually there's something else going on that's affecting it.
All right.
And it may affect the center part of somebody's vision, so it could affect how well they work on a computer or how hard it is to read, but it can affect the peripheral vision too.
Yeah.
And that might affect how well they navigate their environment, and they may not be aware of some of those problems affecting their vision.
Okay. I know it's an ongoing...
Go on. No, I was going to say what's important to know is that when there's vision loss, it can have a significant effect on people's lives and their families, because unless they can find, the right accommodations through professional help, employment, independence, and quality of life is really affected for these people. And one other thing that is of concern with veterans is, in addition to vision changes that can occur for many different reasons, many veterans are also experiencing sensory issues. So they may have hearing loss, they could have tinnitus as a result of noise exposure, either during training or if they were in combat. And that's why we, at the Veterans Affairs, we have an extensive program to look at a lot of different aspects of diagnosis, prevention, and treatment.
That's what I was going to ask, because we do have Veterans Affairs and Veterans Hospitals. Are the hospitals and the treatments for veterans more specific and knowledgeable at veterans hospital institutions than they are with the general hospital population?
That's a very good question, Ron. And I think the most important part of that answer is that one of the important aspects of having veterans hospitals and having a centralized place is that the doctors and the nurses and the personnel are more familiar with the type of problems that veterans experience, and they're on the lookout for those problems. Whereas a general eye doctor may not be tuned into some of those things as much.
Yeah, that's understandable. So if there's a veteran listening or a family member of a veteran who has some of these concerns, what do they do?
Well, almost every VA hospital has an eye clinic that's staffed by optometrists and ophthalmologists that are trained to pick up subtle or more obvious problems of vision. And the VA also has community outbase clinics, which are outlying clinics that can screen for vision problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the first step is to register as a patient and then to get an appointment to have their eyes examined to make sure there isn't something going on or address the problem that they think they're having.
Are there actual treatments for some of these mild, that could become severe eye diseases, macular degeneration, for example? Is there actual treatment other than correcting your lenses?
Absolutely. And some of the largest progress in research through the VA is geared towards some of these new treatments.
I see.
And this goes beyond just, as you said, corrective lenses or cataract surgery.
Yeah.
It has to do with actually restoring vision in macular degeneration, for example. You've probably had relatives or your listeners have had relatives who've gotten injections in their eye to reduce the macular degeneration.
Ouch. Yes, that doesn't sound good.
Actually, it doesn't hurt. It really doesn't hurt. Okay. It's a very, very small needle, and it's really well-tolerated. Sounds terrible, but it actually is very well-tolerated.
Doctor, let me tell you what I go through just when they blow air into my eye. It's like they have to restrain me. But that's just me, probably. It's interesting because we really don't do anything about our eyes until the problem is like really harsh. Sometimes we don't even pay attention to things that are mild, figuring, eh. And then when it gets harsh, we get treatment for things, and then we find, well, you didn't have to go through all this if you just addressed it earlier.
Well, that's why most people recommend a really standard eye exam probably at least once a year, because some of them are silent when they're first starting out, just as you said. People aren't aware of it, or they think it's going to go away, or there's a lot of denial. Yeah. And so it's very important, just like other parts of your body, to get a standard examination. Same thing with vision and hearing and all sensory modalities. Because some of them are subtle when they start out.
Yeah, I can imagine. Dr. Kubley, being with so many departments in the VA and so many concerns, do you feel that the veterans are well informed enough, or is that exactly what we're doing here?
Well, I think that's a good point. That's a great question. We are here to let them know that the VA is truly committed to finding better diagnosis, treatment, and management options. Not only for vision loss, but for many different health conditions. VA has a pretty extensive research program. There are websites that they can go to for additional information, and one of them is research.va.gov, where there's a listing of many different projects. And if they look for vision loss, they'll come up with, we have two major centers. One is located in Atlanta, Georgia, and the other one is located in Iowa City, where Dr. Cardin is calling in from. Uh-huh. And so those two centers, in addition to researchers throughout the country, are conducting research studies, but there are also lots of resources. We have blind vision rehabilitation or low vision rehabilitation centers. There are 13 of them where people that are having visual problems can find some accommodations. Some of them are live-in programs where they stay for a few weeks. And so there's a tremendous amount of information out there. And I think the first step is, checking out the website, but also talking to their providers and letting them know what kinds of problems they're having. It's really important to us that veterans and their families get the care that they need, and as well as the audience out there, just to make sure that they are tapped into resources that are available.
It's interesting. Things are available. Everybody's just waiting there to help you, but some people, either they're delusional about their concerns, or they just think that they're a little too tough and a little too mighty to seek help, and it's kind of it should be the other way around. It's interesting.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. One more point where we can get more information and contact.
Sure. So the website is www.research.va.gov, and we really encourage veterans and their caregivers to address any issues they may be experiencing with vision. And I know that I can speak on the behalf, of the staff at the VA,
sure,
that we feel that it's not only our duty to serve our veterans, but it is a tremendous privilege. And these are a great group of people, and we want to thank all the veterans for their service.
Great. Doctors, thank you for spreading the word today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Another one down the tubes. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then, because anything can happen. It usually does. So until then, I wish you peace.